We must know we cannot abandon the church, which was instituted by Christ upon Peter, for to do so would be to say Christ failed to foresee what the future held. That's impossible.
Hey, my friends, we are with someone very familiar to you all. Xavier Erard, as you know, is the author of the book, which we actually have here, Revelations. And it is a book that I recommend to all of you. Yes, it's huge, but it is probably the most complete book with regard to the revelations from heaven that have been approved. And as you all know, it is very, very well referenced. And I've asked Xavier today to speak with us on something that is, yes, rather controversial. It pertains to the prophecies that I'm sure you've heard about and wondered about, particularly while Pope Benedict was still alive. Prophecies regarding, for instance, St. Anne Catherine, or Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, and her prophecies around the two popes and the baleful relationship that was between the two popes. We're going to get into all of that on this episode of the John Andrew Weston Show. Stay tuned. Xavier.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Good to see you. Finally in person. Our first time in person.
Finally.
Indeed. So let's begin, as we always do, with the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So Xavier, I've asked you to speak with me on something very, a lot of people might say very controversial. But as I understand from you, there are quite a few revelations with regard to a pope or leader of the church or someone in the hierarchy at some point who will be perhaps even a false prophet, someone who will very much deceive the church. I think the Catechism number 675 talks similarly about a great religious deception. Maybe you can start there and or also from the scriptures and tell us about this topic.
Quite so. We're truly living in extraordinary times. Before coming to your show this morning, I had a long, long conversation with some old colleagues of Monsignor René Laurentin, who now are old men, and some of whom are following from across the Atlantic with a great deal of admiration and support. Regarding that passage of in Catechism, paragraph 675, I actually took the liberty of taking it, if you permit me.
Please.
May I read it? And it's very revealing. It says, before Christ's second coming, the church must pass through a final trial that will shake the faith of many believers. The persecution that accompanies a pilgrimage on earth will unveil the mystery of iniquity and the form of a religious deception, offering men an apparent solution to their problems at the price of apostasy from the truth. The supreme religious deception is that of the Antichrist, a pseudo-messianism by which man glorifies himself in place of God and of his Messiah come in the flesh. This paragraph is of the utmost gravity, and it only confirms what heaven, through heaven's first emissary, and even through our Lord, you mentioned Anne Emmerich, which is a perfect example of this, the revelation she received from Christ himself, only support this statement. What the Blessed Virgin Mary has stated in La Salette on September of 1846 to Melanie Calvin, to Maximin Giraud, to a young children who barely knew how to write or read, confirms again this particular event.
She said there, Rome will lose the faith and become the seat of Antichrist.
Exactly. Now, keep in mind that this particular statement, brought forth by the man of Christ to these two medieval messengers, has been formally approved by the Archbishop of Grenoble in France and by the Dicasterium of the Doctrine of the Faith of the time, as being worthy of it. There is no greater approval that the Catholic Church is today able to give to an apparition sign.
Sure.
And yet, this particular message given in La Salette about Rome falling and losing the faith and becoming the seat of the Antichrist is alarming, to say the least. And in no way does it contradict the promise of our Lord that the church that he will found upon Pilate, upon Peter, will ever fall to the fires of the Hades. No. Because the church of Tours, and you mentioned it to me on our earlier conversation, it's you, it's me. The church are your viewers. That's what the Catholic Church, Rome, the Vatican, is a hierarchy, nothing more.
So one of the particularly striking things also is that in the Catechism we learn that the church in the times of the end will not sort of ascend in power and majesty, but actually will follow her head, our Lord Jesus Christ. So that the mystical body of Christ, the church, will follow her head, our Lord, into what seems like a death, even though the church can't officially die. Christ said, I will be with you to the end time, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. But in the Catechism, we learn that the church will indeed follow, the mystical body of Christ will follow its head, our Lord, into a passion and death, a seeming death. So presumably we're to follow in an agony and a scourging, like a judgment and a scourging and a carrying of the cross and a crucifixion. So those are very stark sort of statements that come in the Catechism. Is that reflected also in the scriptures and revelations as well?
Unquestionably. You mentioned it perfectly. Even I think His Excellency Bishop Schneider mentioned, and His Eminence Cardinal Mueller mentioned that particular fact. It's in Catechism. So indeed, the Catholic Church will go through the same passion of our Lord. Before the resurrection, there will be a crucifixion. The apostles, let's not forget that even Christ chose Judas. There is a reason for that, for which we must accept. And in this instance, that's where faith comes from. As I mentioned to you before coming here, I spoke with some friends of mine who used to work with Monsignor René Laroza. And in this instance, it appears to them, it appears to me, to many people that I work with, that indeed the devil is extraordinarily astute in this period of time in which we are living. And let us not fool ourselves. Let us speak straightforward. The Catholic Church today, and I like to think you'll agree with me, is going through a civil war of sorts. Now, in this particular civil war, we are being placed in front of a trap sent by the enemy of God. The trap is this, before scandals, before the infamies that we might see here or there, not to point fingers or name names, the great temptation would be for many to abandon a church that one or many perhaps might think is no longer one.
Good.
That's a trap. Under no circumstances must we fall into that trap. We are all using again the vision of Father Bosco, Don Bosco. We are in a church which is a sea ship in the midst of probably, I think, one of, if not the greatest storm our history has ever lived through.
Well,
the question is, will you abandon ship or will you stay on and fight on with your shield and your sword, which is this?
Anger.
Or will you abandon ship? It appears to me that the message of the Virgin Mary, within La Salette, in Fatima, in places like Garamanda, which have not been condemned, and others, orbit around the notion that we must continue the fight with prayers, even for our enemies, even for those, God help them, who have fallen to error and heresy. The Americans have a great series of a movie called Band of Brothers, World War II, Paratroopers, and you'll understand the analogy. The hero of the movie begins in 1944 when they begin training in Scotland by an American lieutenant who's played by the actor who plays Ross in France.
No.
And he's a bit of a silly fat person, not very efficient officer. Anyway, they go to the training, they disembark. We go back to the last episode, which is in 1945. They could not stand each other, obviously, the trainer and the hero of the movie. They find themselves at the end of the war, and the lieutenants who used to train under the orders of this Lincoln put finds themselves on a jeep and sees this ex-trainer walk in front of him, makes it appear that he doesn't look at him because he doesn't want to salute. Immediately, the captain says to the lieutenant, "Lieutenant, lieutenant." He turns around, and then he salutes and said, "We salute the rank, not the man." Well, I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
And then I thought to myself, blast it all. The same thing could be said today with what's happening in the church.
Great.
I do not make it a secret whenever I appear in different shows. I do not support at all the politics of Pope Francis. I respect him. I respect the office he occupies de facto. Though they do not agree with Amoris Laetitia. Certainly do not agree with what many have accused him to be a complicit of idolatry with the incident of the Pachamama on the grounds of the Vatican. I do not agree with his crusades he started against those who had little the unforgivable crime to adore God, the way our fathers did before us and the way their fathers did before them. And this fiducius supplicans which just appeared, which is nothing less but the new interpretation of the teachings of Christ, is very alarming, is very grave. That is why I, for one, decide to respond yes to the message of heaven or the Virgin Mary and pray for those who have fallen to very grave error.
So we are in the midst of this crisis. And what are we to learn? Because it was in the book of Amos that our Lord promises that, you know, he basically won't do anything, which means allow anything as well, to happen without informing his prophets, so that the prophets can inform the people.
Really?
It does seem now, though, that we're kind of without direction, because the scriptures also say when they strike the shepherd, the sheep are scattered. Very much today, the sheep are seemingly scattered. People are leaving the church, and they have been for a long time now, particularly when they've seen the infidelity of shepherds. That's sad, because you don't abandon Jesus for Judas, because Judas was terrible and he did a lot of terrible things. Apart from the crucifixion, apart from setting up Christ, he was already stealing, probably abusing people that we, you know, and other people might have seen that and said, oh, that's one of Jesus' own. Oh, it can't be true because of, no, it doesn't, you know, so we never abandon Christ and his church because of one or one-tenth of, you know, the shepherds being evil and bad. So that's one thing. But in this time of grave confusion, particularly around the Pope, have the prophets been telling us things to give us some kind of direction?
Yes. In my book, you have the kindness to mention, I dedicated one particular chapter to Marie-Julie Janney in Brittany, where she clearly claims that the time when God will finally intervene he will no longer tolerate the infamous betrayal without the church he founded upon Peter, will be when the Holy Sacrament of the altar will be attacked. When a new liturgy under the roof of a new rising church that will try to rise what a new administration of the Catholic Church will try to be the ashes of the old one, will try to gather under the same roof all sorts of Protestants, all sorts of creeds, to pray one same God. A liturgy to which will be readapted to that effect, including pagans. At that time, the Holy Eucharist will be attacked. The liturgy of the consecration of the Holy Host will no longer be valid. That will be the time, according to Marie-Julie Janney, according to the apparition of Tilly, according to the apparition of Banner, Bora, Fatima, in the second half of the Third Secret, when God will no longer tolerate the infamies, the betrayal of the church, and will intervene through what is called the prophetic events, some of which will be, if humanity doesn't convert in time, a great chastisement, the likes of which have been described in one of the most contemporary apparition sites in Akita in Japan. Likewise, formally approved by His Excellency Bishop Ito and by His Eminence Cardinal Joseph Hatzinger in 1980, when he was still prefect of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith before he became Pope, Benedict XVI. So this is when the time reference will start, when the Eucharist, when the sacrament of the altar will be compromised, will be attacked by what is no longer the followers of Christ, but his enemies. For indeed, Marie-Julie Janney claimed it openly, mentioned it openly. The time will come when the Roman Catholic Church will be infiltrated openly, Freemasonry. Through various messages she received among others, on San Michael the Archangel, in an idea of good success, which likewise has been formally approved by the Catholic Church in the 17th century. The Virgin calls forth a message which was meant to the Church of the 20th century, where, in effect, she called by name the Freemasonry lodges and Freemasonry enemies of God, in a time when Freemasonry did not even exist yet, per se. It was only created about half a century later in 1717, with the first lodge that was founded in Scotland, later to go to England,
of course,
and then later to the whole world. So I hope this answers your question. But these are calling to prophecy, to the most recent ones, to the ones of old, all built around the same notion that indeed the Church will fall like our Lord in this fashion, in his Via Crucis, through an infiltration of the enemies of God within the Catholic Church, to the influence also of Protestantism, and to which one day indeed has said in Nazareth, Rome will indeed come, Rome, not the Church. Rome will come to lose the faith and become, ever so temporarily, the seat of the Antichrist.
Particularly those who are into the traditional Mass might say, well, we've already seen that. We've already seen the Mass suppressed, and with the Second Vatican Council, we saw already an infiltration of Freemasons into the Church. And did that, then the new Mass, the Novus Ordo, constitute that loss of the Mass, loss of the true Eucharist? And I think most of us would say, I think I can speak for you and say, no, not yet, because that Mass is still valid. The confection of the sacraments still retains its value. The priest still uses the words, this is my body, this is my blood, as part of the Mass in all of the Eucharistic prayers, even though some of them are rather banal, you might say. But nonetheless, they still use the words of Christ, the words of institution of the Eucharist. So you're suggesting then, I guess, that there is something beyond that coming, a new rite or formula for the Mass that would do away with the words of consecration, that would actually change it such that the Eucharist is not really confected.
Indeed. I had the great pleasure to meet Father Rieberger in Miami through a common friend's home, who during his visit told us that he has already himself contacts in Rome, who told him that this new liturgy, which will make the consecration of the host invalid, is already, as we speak, being worked on. In Rome. So yes, this will indeed be the time. As far as the statement of the traditionalist, it's first of all good to know that my family was a follower of Monseigneur Lefebvre in the first hours when it all started in the early 80s. So we somewhat detached somewhat of Monseigneur Lefebvre when finally he became excommunicated. To us, to my parents, it was a trap set by the devil, which unfortunately many followed through. We must know we cannot abandon the Church, which was instituted by Christ upon Peter. For to do so would be to say, Christ failed to foresee what the future held. That's impossible. We came back again to him with all our sympathy when his status was restituted by His Holiness John Paul II, after the somewhat of a reconciliation. Indeed, there cannot be division amongst the traditionalists, the those who remain faithful to the deposit of the faith, which is infallible, dogma. No. And that is the great mystery, I think, the great miracle of our faith. It is that in 20 centuries, a perfect faith has survived through the imperfection of man. We had, and God knows, many anti-popes who were sitting at the seat of Peter. We survived.
Right.
This is a chapter of history which is very severe. But as you said, I remember one of your shows about a year and a half ago when you were in Quebec, and the Pope came to visit the city at the Notre Dame de Quebec. No? You were there. I was observing you on the television, and with a cult of traditionalist priests on your knees praying for the Pope for his conversion. I thought that is exemplary, and that is being faithful to the call that heaven today. So, Bergicori, Ganavandal, so Akita approved, Kobane, Bohan, Fakima, all of these apparition sites are all bringing the same message, and each a little more of a piece of the puzzle that gives a great idea, a great picture, which is this. Convert while there is still time, for the times are urgent. We mentioned the civil war, it is only the beginning. it's going to get worse and there will be medical fusion. But in all of these particular operation sites, the version brings all. I mentioned Agida because principally it's the latest and approved by both the bishop and their guys, the congregation of Dr. Dorothy. Every feeling, every emotion that inspires to anxiety, though, to concern, to fear, is satisfied by that. We must remain totally at the feet of the cross in peace and converse, orbiting our lives around the Holy Scriptures according to messages brought forth by the Virgin Mary, by the Gospels and the teachings, which cannot be changed despite all the pathetic attempts that we hear here or there. So the new interpretations we hear today, or they are trying to make us believe, are to be ignored. Only the teachings of our Lord stand. Only the dogma of the faith, which cannot be changed, stand. The Virgin also asks us to orbit our conversion process through our living for the sacraments, particularly confession, preferably on every first Saturday of every month, and Holy Communion, if possible, every day, if not every Sunday. But again, contrary to what we hear more and more from Rome, properly prepared. If anyone, and I always make this fault in any ratio I go, if anyone suspects to have committed a great wrong, the Virgin Mary says, or to have done a mortal sin, we must receive the absolution of God through a priest, as through confession, before receiving the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ at communion. Otherwise, we'll be receiving a sacrilegious communion, which in itself is a mortal sin. I'm going off a little bit from the road, but I hope that answers as well.
It does. We're called to fight despite the severity of what's going on. We have the tools to fight. We have the Holy Sacrifice, Master said, every day. A lot of people talk about a lot of things. The Holy Rosary as our weapon. Even the Holy Rosary pales in comparison to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass.
Of course.
If people can make it to Mass every day, and that could be, if there's only one thing you could do every day, go to Mass. That might sound controversial, but if you're going to daily Mass, you're going to say your daily rosary anyway, so I'm not really worried about that. But it is true. The number one thing you can do is go and offer the Holy Sacrifice of Mass. I'm always reminded of a book that I read once from Tance, tiny little booklet, but it was called One More Mass. And in it, I think, was some revelations from souls that sort of saw the other side. Basically, or souls from purgatory who spoke to some people who saw them or heard them in locutions, is that I would come back to suffer a whole lifetime of suffering for one more Mass. So that's really beautiful. So we do have weapons or helps at our disposal, the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, as you said, confession. You go to confession once every 2 weeks. It's actually ideal because you know how after Mass, there's the prayer before the crucifix, which grants you a plenary indulgence every time if you say it as your Thanksgiving for Holy Communion. And interestingly, the promises or the requirements for a plenary indulgence are, you say the prayer for the intention, you are detached from all sin, including venial sin, which is really hard, I know, but we should do that anyway. But thirdly, that you've gone to confession within 8 days on either side. So if you go every 2 weeks, you're guaranteed always to be in that state ready to receive a plenary indulgence. So that's a really good rule of thumb. But beyond that, we have, at least through our native Fatima, the thing that that the laity are required to do in order to give the church, particularly the Pope, the grace to make that consecration of Russia in union with the bishops, which we know will usher in the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. So there's a huge role for the laity, one that perhaps many don't know about yet, and that is the First Saturday devotion. Maybe you can tell us about that, just so that we know the laity have this role, the grace for the Pope and the bishops to do what Our Lady requested so that the triumph of the Immaculate Heart can come. It really depends on the laity fulfilling this one thing. What is that?
Indeed, the Virgin Mary asks that we go on every first Saturday of every month for 5 consecutive first Saturdays by going to confession, by going to communion, by meditating the 15 mysteries, and by praying at least 5 mysteries of the rosary on those 5 consecutive first Saturdays. I have 2 children that do exactly that every first Saturday of the month. And I finish the day by watching your meditation of the 15 mysteries. We put it immediately on the big screen, and the children watch you and going for 15 minutes, the 15 mysteries of the Holy Rosary. It does them immense good. The Virgin Mary said that this must be done at least once in a lifetime, and that indeed we must offer this in union with all our masses and all our confession, and pray indeed, as you mentioned, so that the Pope would indeed consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary in union with all the bishops of the world. This particular formula has been tempted, been tried over and over again since Pius the Twelfth. He almost did it. He almost fulfilled all the answers, but not quite. And never did the Virgin Mary say it's been approved. John Paul II tried as well. But, well, a bastion, a massive opposition by lobbies and the advice of his cardinals, out of fear of causing diplomatic chaos with the Soviet Union at the time. He organized on May the 13th a consecration of the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary in union with all the bishops. This, according to what it was stated, Lucia dos Santos supposedly have said that it's been accepted by the Catholic Church. According to other cardinals, this was not the fact, the case. Then recently, Francis tried something of the sort. It appears that not all the bishops joined in this particular ceremony, but no visionary that I know of, that I work with, or that I speak with, told me that it's been approved or denied. So I'm not able to say. I strongly suspect that it has not been accepted. Not all the prerequisites were met. But indeed, the request of the Virgin Mary is for everyone, of course, in the measure of the capabilities, to go every first 5 Saturdays of the month. And you can begin any month of the year, but it has to be 5 consecutive first Saturdays of the month, and to do Holy Confession, Holy Communion, a meditation of the 15 mysteries, and the prayer of at least 5 mysteries of the Rosary. And the meditation, the Blessed Virgin Mary asked through Sister Lucia dos Santos, of the 15 mysteries, a meditation thereof, must not last less than at least 15 minutes. And it is not much of an effort, as I said, to young teenage children, a young boy and a young daughter. She loved now doing it, thanks to you.
Yeah, we did. I did that because I tried to find it myself to help the kids, because it's sometimes hard, especially for young people, to do meditation. Not finding one myself on the internet right away, I decided to basically do one. And our video crew put it to nice background of images from traditional art of the Passion and the life of Christ through the Rosary. So we have this idea then of, through the various visions, of not only the crisis in the church, the death of the church, but also of something called the false prophet and the false church, if you will. What is that in the messages and the revelations that you sing?
All right. This is we're entering into an era, again, that is of the utmost gravity. We mentioned briefly that this new false church will be led by a false prophet, obviously. And the basis of this new philosophy, idolatry, would orbit around the fact that Catholicism, the word Catholic means universal. It will take for a false ambition to gather all the sons of God, all those who pray to one God, and to make them all pray one single person, one single deity, under the leadership of a new pope, who will no longer be Catholic or Protestant, but simply a vicar of the one true God, ignoring all the teachings of just Jesus Christ, which according to this new faith will be one truth amongst others. We see Christ as one prophet amongst others. He will gather even paganism. It will not require all the instruments that were given with or through the teachings of the Gospels by our Lord Jesus Christ. No, it will not recognize the Church founded on St. Peter alone. And the consecration of the host they will celebrate will be an adoration, or a celebration rather, of a commemoration of the Last Supper, as opposed to the recognition of the true body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. This will no longer be the credo, the creed of this particular sacrament. It will not even be longer a sacrament. It will simply have one ambition: to gather all the children of one God under one roof and to reconcile parts of the creed of the Muslims with part of the creed of the Jews, with part of the creed of the Pachamama adorers, and God knows what other aberration. Now,
hi, everyone. This is John Henry Weston. We hope you enjoyed this program. To see more like it, be sure to hit the subscribe button below to get all the latest content from LifeSite News. Check the links in the description to read more and connect with us on social media so that you can stay up to date with all the latest life, family, faith, and freedom news. Thanks for watching, and may God bless you.